Let's pray for him right now, okay? God, I thank you for my brother that is here today from Cambodia and the island there that he works with the church on that island. And we ask your blessing upon him and his family and his ministry. God, would you use him even beyond his capability, Lord, fill him with your spirit. May their church be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they could reach the lost, that they could minister to these ones who have been hurt severely in their lives. I thank you that whatever language we speak, Lord, you understand it, and you know our hearts, and you are a good God, and you long for every person to be saved. And one day, Lord, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every nation will humble themselves before you. We praise you. You are the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords. Lord, would you bless this time of preaching? Help us to receive your word with open hearts, open ears, open minds. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have passed this Thanksgiving holiday and we are now looking forward to Christmas, one of the topics that came to my mind is that of joy. Joy to the world, we sing. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Have you thought about the number of Christmas songs that we sing that talk about the subject of joy? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. The second verse of that song, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? And then there's another song that we sing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. These are just a few of the Christmas songs that we sing that emphasize the joy that we should have. And of course, the songwriters are being inspired by the scripture writers as they record for us the birth of Jesus. The angel choir, you remember, appeared to those shepherds on a Bethlehem hillside, and this is what they said. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what? A great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The birth of Jesus brought great joy to the earth. And that joy should be lingering even to this day in our hearts as well. I want to challenge you to plant your roots deep into the joy of the Lord. Does anybody here need his joy? I do. I think all of us do. If anybody should have joy, the Christian should have joy. And yet, if we are honest with each other, we all have met some people who wear the name of Christian that act like they have been baptized in dill pickle juice. They're not very happy at all. In fact, you want to be very careful with those people because they might just bite your head off. My brother used to tell the joke about the young girl who would go and visit her grandparents' farm every summer, and one summer she noticed a mule there that she had not seen before. She noticed the mule's lower lip really sagging, and the mule just seemed to have a long, droopy face. It didn't seem happy at all. She went up to the mule and she patted it and she said, "It's okay, Mr. Mule. My grandma has religion too." I hope that's not you and me. We have a lot to be joyful about, so let me pursue that a little bit further this morning. What should bring joy to those of us who wear the name of Christian? And the first thing is simply this, just the fact that Jesus has come. This is good news of great joy. He has come to save us. He has come to rescue us from our sins. And we all like rescue stories, don't we? Whether it's the fireman that goes into the burning house and he comes out with a little child and he's rescued that child, or the Marines who go in and rescue a hostage. We like those kinds of stories. And by the way, as we mention the word hostage, we should be praying for these hostages that are being held by the Hamas, that they would be set free. But we need to know this. Jesus came to set us free. Several years ago, now my neighbor Johnny, who was a fireman at the time, was driving on our road about a mile and a half east of where we live during a time of flooding. And this is just around the corner west of the sale barn there in Fort Scott, if you're familiar with that area. It's a very deep ravine off of the road, and when there's a lot of rain, water tends to back up in that ravine, and it gets very deep. And Johnny, at this point, was driving his vehicle on Maple Road around that corner. And as he rounded the corner, he found a mother absolutely hysterical and completely soaked. She was standing in the middle of the road. He stopped only to hear her crying for her baby. She had driven off of that ravine, into that ravine, and her baby was in a car seat strapped in the back seat of that vehicle. Johnny dove into the water, and we're talking muddy, yucky flood water, and somehow, by God's grace, he was able to make his way down to that car and feel his way around, get into the back door of that car, and he rescued that baby, getting it out of its car seat, and he brought it to the surface, and he then gave the baby CPR, and the baby survived. Johnny was a hero, and rightfully so. And we all love those kinds of stories. I remember the story of Desmond Doss, and a picture here, a combat medic from World War II. He was a conscientious objector, and many of you know this story. Some of you have seen the movie that was made of his story. He was a conscientious objector, meaning it was against his religion to carry a gun into the war. But he became a gold medal recipient for his heroic acts on what was called Hacksaw Ridge on the island of Okinawa. Over 2,500 American soldiers were killed on that ridge. and over twice that, over 5,000 Japanese soldiers died there on that ridge. Doss spent 12 grueling hours on that ridge, refusing to come down until he could rescue every wounded soldier possible that lay out there on that battleground. His prayer was, "Lord, please help me get one more." And by the time he was finished, he had rescued 75 wounded soldiers, and some of those even were Japanese soldiers. He would make his way out to where those wounded soldiers were laying on the battlefield, and he would somehow get a hold of them and drag them to the edge of that cliff. And he would tie them with a rope, and he would then let them down the cliff to the bottom where there were other medics waiting for these soldiers. All of this while the battle was still going on. One of the soldiers he saved was his own captain that had made his life miserable in training camp because he was unwilling to carry a gun. I mean, we love these kinds of stories. We're inspired by them. I want you to know the greatest rescue story of all is when Jesus left the splendor of heaven and he came here to take on human flesh, and he walked in our shoes, and he was tempted just as we are, and yet he never sinned one time. And then he died on the cross for our sins. We didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve such grace. We didn't deserve such love. Jesus died an excruciating death simply because he loved us that much. And I am quite sure that his prayer to this day, as he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, is simply this: Lord, 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 just give me one more. Just give me one more soul. And that's what's keeping him back from coming here in his return. He desires just one more soul to be saved. And that rescue story ought to bring such joy to our hearts. Peter calls it inexpressible joy as he writes his book. He calls it glorious joy. Let me read it to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." Brothers and sisters, we should have this joy, a joy beyond words, a joy that you really can't describe. It's inexpressible as we consider what Jesus has done for us. It is a joy that should overflow into our witness to the world who desperately needs to hear the message of Jesus. What is it that should bring joy to our heart? Just the fact that Jesus has come here to rescue us from our sins. Let me give to you a second source of joy for us as Christians. The Word of God should bring us joy. Consider Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 from the New International Version. The prophet said this: "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." How about what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11? "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The New Living Translation treats verse 11 this way: "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy." Yes, your joy will overflow. Where do we get this kind of overflowing joy? We get it from the Word of God as it is in our hearts. Hear me say this. If you will take the time to consistently, regularly, daily, habitually be in this book, I'm thinking it will bring more joy to your heart. I'm thinking that you will be a more joyful person. In fact, I know you will be a more joyful person if you will take the time to be in the Word of God. Consider these verses from Psalms 119, which, by the way, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and not by coincidence is it right smack in the middle of the Bible. Listen to what the psalmist writes. Verse 2, "Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts." Verses 14 and 16, "I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word." Verse 24, "Your laws please me. They give me wise advice." Verse 35, "Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found." Verse 47, "How I delight in your commands, how I love them." Verse 92, "If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery." These are just samples from this long chapter of the Bible that teaches us that God's Word brings joy to our heart if we'll just take the time to be in it. Do you want more joy? Do you need more joy in your heart? Don't look for it in money. Don't look for it in more stuff. A new house, a new car, those things are not going to bring joy to you. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Oh, they might bring happiness to you for just a short while, as long as they're new. With that new car, it doesn't take long to get a scratch on it, does it? It doesn't take long to get a dent in it, a ding. I mean, you could go home from church today and hit a deer. You could go to Walmart this afternoon and park in the parking lot, and somebody's shopping cart just ram right into the side of your brand new car. Where's your joy going to be at that point? That house that's brand new, that maybe we're just dreaming about that and thinking that's where joy is going to be found. I mean, that house can be blown away. That house can crumble. That house can burn up. And then where's our joy? If we have joy in the things of this world, it's very temporary and it can be snatched away just that fast. But when we have His joy in our heart, the world can't steal it away. And joy comes, one source, from this book. Get into this book. And let the book get into you. Let me read to you a testimony of a young girl, 14 years old, of what she experienced in her life. Kimberly Cornelius was a 14-year-old missionary kid who was already just about burned out on Christianity. It's not easy being an MK, a missionary kid. When her church's youth pastor asked students to share what God was doing in their lives, she had nothing to say. "I believe I was a Christian," she said, "but I was a baby Christian who had been a baby Christian for the past 8 to 10 years. Then one of her homeschooling teachers gave her an assignment to read through the book of Acts. And Kimberly grudgingly opened her Bible to begin the homework. I read one chapter a day for 28 days, all the way through the book of Acts, she said in her blog. I was ecstatic. I had never read a book of the Bible like that before, just taking one chapter a day for an extended period of time. In the past, my attempts at Bible reading had all failed. The book of Acts was done, but I didn't want to stop. I went to the book of Matthew and proceeded to read through the whole New Testament, just reading a chapter a day. As I read God's Word consistently, day by day, something amazing began to happen. Something inside me began to change. I began to love my family more. I began to look forward to fellowshipping with believers at church. I began to desire to live righteously. I began to recognize and forsake sins in my life. But the most important change is that I began to know and love God. I felt my eyes had been opened, like I was seeing the world in a whole new light. I was seeing my life through the clarifying, intensifying, purifying lens of Scripture. That's a 14-year-old girl experiencing that. And you can experience that too if you're not already. If you're not already in the Word of God, I want to challenge you with this challenge that this girl, she took this challenge on. It was a homework assignment to begin with, but she started just reading one chapter a day. I mean, all of us could do that. One chapter a day, and let the Word of God begin to change you, begin to mold you, to begin to bring joy into your life, to change your perspective. Do you need more joy? Get into this book and let the book get into you, and let the Lord of this book get into you, and I think you will become a different person. You will have less gloom and doom, and you will become more joy-filled. Let this book get into you, and you will become less grouchy, and you will become more joyful. If you will take the time to get into this book, your whole outlook on life will change. You will become more positive and more joy-filled in spite of all the turmoil and chaos and hardship that is around you. Am I advocating that you crawl into a closet and live in your own little world and ignore everything that is happening to you? No, I'm not advocating that at all. But what I am advocating to you is simply this, that as you live in a sin-torn world, that you would be in God's Word and let His Word give you a new perspective. That you would begin to see things through His eyes rather than through the world's eyes. And I think true, abundant joy will be a part of what you experience. Now, as we talk about the source of joy for our lives, there's so many more things that I could say to you today. In fact, I did some research on this topic this week. I looked up the word joy in one of my Bible encyclopedias. And there's all kinds of things that could be preached on in this topic. In fact, this easily would be a 6-week study of sermons, of where joy comes from. The fact that Jesus has come here to rescue us. We get joy from His Word. We get joy from serving others and serving God. We get joy from planting the seed of the gospel in other people's lives. We get joy through answered prayers. We get joy through living a spiritual life. All of this is what I found in my research this last week. I would encourage you to take some time, do the same thing that I did. Look up the word joy and see the different scriptures and the different sources of joy that would be helpful to you. But let me close with this one last point. The source of joy is the Holy Spirit. As we are filled up with the Holy Spirit, joy will be a part of our life that we experience. Galatians chapter 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and you read right on through 9 character qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to bring into your life. And the second quality that is mentioned is joy. He wants to help you become a more joy-filled person. Joy comes as the Holy Spirit has His influence on our life. As we submit to Him, joy will be the byproduct. Romans 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Are you looking to have more joy? Then die to yourself. And let the Holy Spirit have His influence on your life. Would you be willing to pray to God that He would fill you up to overflowing with His Spirit? I'm telling you, don't pray that prayer unless you're really meaning it, because the Holy Spirit wants to rule every aspect of your life. He wants to rule your thought life. He wants to rule your tongue. The Holy Spirit wants to rule your eyes and what you are looking at. The Holy Spirit wants to rule your calendar. The Holy Spirit wants to rule your pocketbook. He wants to have charge of all of these areas. The Holy Spirit wants to have dictation of where your feet go and what your hands do. And so don't pray that prayer, "Lord, fill me with Your Spirit," unless you really mean it. But if you will pray that prayer sincerely, "God, give me Your Spirit. I'd love to have Your Spirit just overflowing in my life," changes will begin to happen to you. And one of the changes will be that His joy will overflow you. Now, hear me say this. I'm not talking about being giddy. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is that you would have His joy in you, even amidst hardship, even amidst the difficulties of life that you're going through, that you would experience His fullness. Because that's what He wants to give to you. That's the kind of life He wants you to have. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Doesn't that sound good? To have life to the full? To be able to squeeze every ounce of joy and peace and love out of it that we can get with His help. That's what He wants for us. Doesn't mean an easy pathway. It doesn't mean a problem-free life. But it means amidst the pathway of life that we are walking, He will be with us and He will help us have life to the full. Let's pray together. God, help us to plant our roots deep into Your joy. And thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. We need Him desperately. And we want Him to dictate, oversee every area of our life. We need that. In Jesus' name, amen.